Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 23rd. This is Adina Schutzberg of Directions Media. Today I'm joined by Senior Managing Editor Nora Parker to take a look at this week's news. Joe Fransica is attending the MapWorld Forum in India and will be back with us next week. Today we'll take a quick look at how a small bank is using GIS, how OGC and W3C are working together, the latest on TerraServer and Land Voyage, and new offerings from EPA and Axiom. Then we'll spend a bit more time discussing news from NOAA on better sharing weather alerts, some upcoming litigation regarding the Brooks Act, and what's happening with OSGEO sponsors. First, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS 9.2, you can be more productive with GIS and increase access to geographic knowledge within your organization and on the web. Learn more about ArcGIS 9.2 at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Nora, can you get us started with the news?
Sure. We got a couple of interesting press releases last week. First of all, Spatial Logic was selected by Virginia National Bank. I looked into Virginia National Bank and found out that this is a bank with only 5 branches. It's a very tiny community bank. I thought it was interesting that a bank that small can access capabilities for marketing assistance that have only been able to be used by much larger banks in the past. So this was very interesting to see a tiny community bank with 5 branches be put on even footing with much larger corporations. Last week we received a press release from the Open Geospatial Consortium, the OGC, and titled "The OGC Joins the W3C to Add Geospatial to the Web." I followed up with Josh Lieberman, who is running a geospatial incubator program at the W3C, to ask more about what this collaboration might mean. He responded that although the incubator program is due to expire in June of this year, the collaboration and the activities will continue on past that date, and OGC will be an important part of that collaboration. And there are already some discussions of forming a W3C interest group for geospatial matters, and it will probably get set up pretty soon. And bottom line is what they're wanting to do is get ISO models and OGC vocabulary that need to be reflected in the W3 standards so that the GeoWeb can be both ubiquitous and operational. So that does affect us in terms of getting those standards from our world out into the web world and back and forth and working together.
Great. I saw a personnel change that caught my eye this week. Brian Randy Funk has joined TerraServer as Chief Operating Officer. Now, this is interesting because Mr. Funk used to be at Land Voyage, and which is a website that also that sells geographic data. It's a company that's owned by LandNet and was put up for sale just about a year ago. And so far as I know, it's still for sale. Now, TerraServer is sometimes confused with TerraServer USA, which is the USGS Microsoft project to make U.S. government data available. TerraServer is actually a for-profit company that sells geospatial data, including data from Globe Explorer, USGS Pictures, and other folks. So it's an interesting thing to note, especially with the recent acquisition of Globe Explorer by Digital Globe. Another data-related news item this week comes from the EPA. Some queries by Google have prompted the EPA to offer up an XML file of 1,600 locations that are relegated to the Superfund National Priority List. And the whole idea is to make this data available to produce mashups, which is a terrific idea, but it seems awfully late in coming considering the state of mashups these days. Also in the late to the party department is a news release from Axiom, which this week announced a web-based analytical tool called Personics MarketScape X, which is aimed at demographic and lifestyle physiographic segmentation. In addition to the fact that it's very challenging to say the name of the product, Axiom follows on a whole slew of folks who are in front of them, including MapInfo, GeoView, SRC, Tactician, and ESRI. So it'll be interesting to see if they can find a space in there to get some clients. Now I'd like to move over to the discussion segment of our podcast, where we spend a little bit more time on the topics in the news. Nora, you're going to start out with some weather.
Right. Thanks, Adina. We got a press release from NOAA, National Weather Service, talking about the fact that they're going to be providing more precise data about locations of severe weather, and that's going to start up this fall on October 1st. This is great news. A lot of people have commented in the past, and Joe Francica in his editorial last fall certainly did talk about the lack of precision in reporting severe weather. They put entire counties under a severe weather watch, and of course a lot of these activities are much more pinpointed than a full county. So the NOAA Weather Service is going to be working on providing that kind of precision in these kinds of systems.
And these include things like tornadoes and thunderstorms and flash floods, those kinds of things.
Exactly, and marine hazards, like the tsunami that Joe was worried about last fall when he was in Hawaii. You know, what we're seeing in the world in general is a drive towards much more precise information, and maybe this is a little bit late to the party that NOAA is accepting that a county is not a very precise geographic description.
Right. I think there's a real expectation that we get sort of a hyper-local understanding. You know, is it my section of the city, even, or is
exactly.
it my street? The next topic we wanted to address has to do with some litigation related to the Brooks Act. And we've posted an article about that with our best understanding of what's going on and let our readers know, because this may have some impact. The Brooks Act is a law that basically describes how contracting is done, federal contracts. And what's at issue here is sort of the extent of that law. Does it include all kinds of mapping or just some kinds of mapping? And there's a lawsuit in place that's going to court in February that wants to broaden that understanding such that pretty much any kind of mapping would fall under a formal process called QBS, quality-based selection, which doesn't use cost as a focus, but rather sort of competence. And the other part of it has to do with whether or not that mapping, whether it be sort of engineering or architecture-based or not, have oversight by surveyors.
Right, and this has been coming up over and over for the last 20 years or so. You hear about concerns in various locations because state legislation has been talked about that might do similar sorts of things. And you know, this is really pretty hard to understand. But the bottom line here is that we do need to understand it. We do need to track it. And Directions Magazine's job here is to let people know there's an issue.
Right. We've reached out to a number of professional organizations to get some information about what they're thinking, what they're doing related to this act, and we hope to share that with you in the future. We're also curious about your thoughts on the matter, so please do share those with us, either via email or via the comment section of our article. And finally today, we want to talk a little bit about the Open Source Geospatial Foundation, OSGEO. This came ahead last week when Lizard Tech put out a press release noting that it had become an associate sponsor of the foundation, which a lot of people, I'm sure, thought was terrific. Lizard Tech is actually the third sponsor. Autodesk was the first. It's a sustaining sponsor, which means that it contributes $50,000 annually. OneSpatial, that's the company that used to be LaserScan, is in at the $3,000 level, and Lizard Tech is in at the $3,000 level. So one of the things that struck us was, well, gee, you know, hasn't OSGEO been around for a while? Why do they only have three sponsors? Well, to be fair, OSGEO is relatively young. It just got an executive director this past fall. And it does actually have a few more sponsors because there are two kinds of sponsors for this organization. One set, the ones I just described, have to do with basically running the foundation. The other set, called project sponsors, give money to a specific technology project that they want to work on. And there are three companies involved in that, each in at the $3,000 level. So this is sort of an opportunity, I think, in waiting. And maybe we're ahead of the game in jumping on that we want to see more folks sign on. But it's interesting to note that, yes, in fact, there are six organizations involved.
Yeah, we were kind of wondering if there was, as Adina said, there might be an opportunity here. We noted that OSGEO hasn't done a lot of pushing to look for sponsorship, so, you know, it's early days. But if some of you listening are involved in this sort of thing, it seems to us that this would be the time to get involved.
And that wraps up today's look at this past week's news. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.